Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. So, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Feel his presence here. Know his presence is here. Appreciate all of you being here. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Sunday was a wonderful day. And those that went back and were able to watch, and if you tried to watch Sunday and you got to point three and then it got cut off, then I would encourage you, if you haven't listened to it yet, please. Gary said, I know why four, he cut you off between three and four, because four was fasting. Later, Gary said when he watched it, he said, I'll tell you what, with the way that service ended and the altar and the glory, he said, if I would have been the devil, I'd have tried to cut you guys off also. It was a powerful, very powerful. So, others have, I just appreciate all of you out there and how you're all family. Just the family was checking and said, what's going on? We're missing our service. And so we appreciate that. And different ones the next day was like, I can't even begin to go down through the list. So a number of guys and people were checking in and saying, and especially 2 days later, we heard it. My goodness, Pastor, praise God for the service. Ryan Averett said, I couldn't finish it because of the glitch, but I got to work when it was up and watched the rest of it. And he said, I couldn't help but keep crying because of the presence of God and what was going on around the altar. So, and I think that was the consensus of most everybody that was sharing. So we give all the glory to God. We just, something wonderful is taking place. Hallelujah. Something wonderful is taking place. Let me give you some prayer assignments. Most of you don't have pen and paper in hand because you're maybe not prepared. But I'll go over this a number of times over the next couple of weeks as is necessary. And those of you are there, please, as you're watching, remember these prayer assignments. You'll come away tonight with four. We're going to pray about one of them right now. But April 15th is a very special day. It's a Saturday, and we're going to have, Homer has heard from the Lord to have a homecoming for the young adults that were once part of the youth program. The last time that he had this, years ago, had this kind of homecoming service, there were nearly 100 of those that came back and were part of that. It was very, very powerful. We're expecting God, listen, to all of you intercessors, those that are watching and those that are in here, please help us bathe this day in prayer. Homer will deliver a very powerful message and a call for repentance and baptism of the Holy Spirit and pray for the sick. And we're just going to believe God. There's something very powerful happens that day, and it will, but we need to pray. Things happen because people pray. They pray. And so that's vital that we cover that day in intercessory prayer, and we lift up April 15th. Also, April 23rd is the Dayton Conference, and so that starts up there. I'll be up there. And what we're going to do this year is that we're going to have that conference live streamed in our services. So that will be our service. Harry and the worship team will get a break, those services, because they'll be able to worship with Jamie. And but you'll come in here, and we'll be prepared. I want you to be here, be at these services, be here Sunday, be here at least Wednesday. It'll be up to Gay and Marty if they want to open the church up on Sunday night. You can check with them at that time. If there's people that don't have access for any reason to streaming and want to come, and you can ask them at the time. But we'll at least have that Sunday and that Wednesday in which you'll come in here and be part of the Dayton Conference. But please, that's April 23rd, and please be in prayer for that entire conference. Put those dates down and pray over them and ask God to come. And there's something wonderful that's happening in our midst and across America, but it's happening because of prayer people. I'm involved in a Brazilian conference. It is April 27th through April 1st, and this is the third one that I will be involved in that I'll be teaching. I'm asking you, intercessors, pray for the Brazilian conference. This is under Pastor Alan Taylor's ministry, and so I'll be one of the speakers, and this will be the third one. I'll tell you, something's great is going on down there. It is just wonderful. I teach one lesson a week that's recorded and then goes into their archives, and they share that with their pastors and leaders. And last night was my night to teach every Tuesday evening. And it was so unusual. We started out, and, you know, I've got my interpreter, and I've got three technicians that I'm looking at that are going to, you know, they're monitoring the service and getting everything ready for the recording. Well, they started asking for prayer, and this was before I even started giving testimony about some things that were, they started asking prayer for certain things, and we started praying, and the power of God came so strong. And then, you know, that hour I'm supposed to be teaching. It's supposed to be a teaching. And wouldn't you know it? God interrupted my teaching. Isn't that amazing? It looks like God is on a planned collision course to interrupt a lot of stuff. And so I never did. I never could in the hour teach. I just went into ministry and prophesying about what was about to take place. And I could have shut it down, but why would I? Because when I got done, I'm looking, and one of the technicians is just crying, and the presence of God is so strong. And I'm working out of my studio now that I have in the back of the house, and Candy's hearing me in there. And I come out and I said, I didn't even want to leave there. The presence of God was so strong. She said, I heard you back there. I mean, that's just supposed to be a kind of just a straightforward teaching time. And she said, I think I heard you prophesying back there. I said, I was. I said, man, the Spirit of God came. So what are you saying that for, Pastor? Because that's indicative of the moment. A lot of suddenlies are taking place around us. Get on board. Follow the path of the Holy Spirit. Also, I want you to pray with me concerning April 9th. That's Easter. Well, that's our regular service. I expect you to always be praying about our services anyway. But I was asked about a month ago, and then reiterated, they got in touch with me again yesterday. The Methodist Church here in Immokalee has asked me to come and preach or teach the sunrise service. And they have a sunrise service that they now offer you, very ambitious, real ambitious people, at 6:30. But that's late for me. I think 6:30 is just like, man, the world's been, you know, my world's up and going way before that usually. But anyway, if you're ambitious enough to come to a 6:30 service, but if not, just pray that God will fill those grounds, and it'll be outdoors, and I'll be preaching, teaching. And so, amazing. Methodist Church wants us to come over and preach. I want us to pray for Baker. Let's all stand. Mario Morello is going to have service here in about 2 hours. And I've been following along on the crusade in Bakersfield, and they have been having incredible services, miracles and miracles, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds being saved every night. Any place that I see where there's a stream or a river of revival, I want to enter in, and I want to give my part. I want to give it in prayer. I want to give it financially. I want to give it in every bit of my moral support that I have. So let's pray. This is the last night of that crusade, and we just believe that God is doing something very, very powerful there, and let's just do our part here across the United States and wherever you're at. In Jesus' name, we pray that the power of God will fill that tent tonight. Hundreds and hundreds more will be born again as a result of the preaching and the power of God's word. Mario has asked all of us to pray, and all of us to intercede, and all of us to believe God for these to come into the kingdom, and for these miracles that have been taking place, all kinds of notable miracles of every sort. And we just pray that, Father, in Jesus' name, let your presence saturate that tent tonight, those grounds. And Lord, let every drug addict, every prostitute, every lost individual, every homosexual, every person who is a deviant in any way, the straights, the goods, the bads, the uglies, it does not matter. Father, in Jesus' name, that they'll come into the kingdom, they'll be born again, set free by the power of God, and the Holy Spirit will rest there in a very powerful way. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And those of you at home, if you stood, you can be seated as well. Hallelujah. I want to bring up a very special person. That's Miss Candy, my wife. She came into the office prior to the service, and she said, I've got something I'd like to read. Can I read it? I said, absolutely so. So she doesn't even know, because I didn't even tell her. I said, yeah, you can. Yes, ma'am, you can read that. And but she didn't even know how it was going to tie in tonight to tonight's message. But please give it a listen. She'll tell you what she's reading. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello. I just want to read one of Donna Roberson's letters this past month. I love her letters. She always is sharing something that's always just so good for us to hear and to learn from her experiences and how the Lord ministers to her. But before I read it, I wanted to just say real quick, this letter is about forgiveness and asking forgiveness. And I don't know if you've ever been on the side of having to ask for forgiveness to someone or to the Lord. Of course, we know we all have. But also, you've been on the other side. You might be the one that someone's asking you to forgive them. And so anyhow, it just ties into this. I've been on both sides many times before, and I just want to tell you experience one time that I had about years ago. You've probably all heard that about me and Bronk going on the rafting and how that the tube was flipped and I fell up under there. And if you've ever had a few moments that you think that you may not make it, you really, your mind, it just goes completely on you and God. And it brings your priorities intact because you realize how real and how alone that you are, that you don't reach out, you can't grab your mama's hand, your daddy's hand, you can't grab your husband's hand, your wife's hand, you don't have anybody but just you and God, and you really could be, you think, you could be just dying. And that's really how I felt that day when I was trapped up under that tube trying to get out from under it. I know possibly at least a minute passed, and I began to think, God, you can't get me out of here, I think I'm going to inhale and start, I thought I was going to drown. But anyhow, the reality of knowing it was just me and God, and really knowing that I might be going to see him, the thought of knowing that there was nothing between us was so good, that I knew that I didn't have to ask him to forgive me for anything at the moment. But what was astonishing to me is how I didn't think about anybody else. I didn't think about my grandkids. No thought was on anything but me and just trying to survive. But anyhow, that's kind of like ties into forgiveness. And this is the letter that she wrote. It says, "Dear Bronk and Candy, there is a saying out in the world that goes, don't be bitter, be better. There's truth in that, and it would really surprise most people to know that being bitter towards something can poison the whole body. Bitterness will create massive problems in our belief system. It's never a good thing to hang on to bitterness because it really distorts what we see and what we hear, and Satan thrives on people's misery. I understand how hard it can be to let go of injustices. However, James 3:14 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. James says it pretty plain here. Wherever there is bitterness and strife, there is no truth. The consequences are evident. Unfortunately, so many Christians today are bitter, but we want them to get better. James 3:10-11 states this, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? The devil is an equal opportunity destroyer. He will continue to give us opportunities to get into strife, bitterness, and unforgiveness. However, we don't have to respond to any of it. Jesus never said our lives would be easy, but we can choose his wisdom over taking offense. James 3:17-18 talks about God's wisdom. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There are so many things going on in the world that create atmospheres for strife and unbelief. Sadly, too many Christians join in, especially in the realm of politics. We have to remember that verse 18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. There was a time in my life, Donner said, there's a time in my life when it was so hard for me to let go of injustices that were done. Nevertheless, I can say that it's absolutely not worth our relationship with God to remain bitter toward anyone or anything. I know people who can let go of hurts and offenses quickly, but that wasn't how it was for me. However, Luke 6:35 helped and spoke volumes to me. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. I won't say it was always easy for me to forgive and to let go of wrongs done, because it wasn't, but I do know if we try our best, our Father Jesus and the Holy Spirit will strengthen us. Amen.
I got it. Thank you, ma'am. Yep, you got it. Hallelujah. How many can say amen? Amen. Yes, so good. Well, Candy didn't know that, but she would suspect that all that we do when we're going into God and these services is led by the Holy Spirit. So that's ties so much into what some of the subject matter that the Lord has me scheduled here in the next little bit to, and I don't know how long this will be, not maybe too long, but today I was praying as I do and preparing for tonight, and stuff was coming, and you know, I was starting to journal and get ready for a message that I'm not going to preach or teach, but that'll probably be Sunday. The good thing about it is when the Lord changes everything and gives you another message, you've got two messages then. So you got one sitting there cooking on the back burner, which is good. So I think that'll come Sunday unless he changes it again. But so I was preparing and I was going one direction and it was from the Lord. And so he knows what he wants to say. And then I began to feel in preparation what I would term a prophetic preparation. And that prophetic preparation has everything to do with the here and now. It's not just a underscoring or teaching of God's word, which is great and very powerful and which we should always have, but prophetic as in for the moment, prophetic for the as for the personal or for the directive for the very hour or the time season in which we live in. Tonight's message title, not that that we have to have titles, but I put this title on it, Spiritual Climate Changes. Spiritual Climate Changes. Well, we all know what climate changes, or at least the discussion of climate changes. And no, I'm not reading a passage or a paragraph from Mr. Al Gore's book on climate change. So you don't have to worry about that. I'm going to talk, the Lord wants me to just talk for a few moments about the moment in where we're at as collectively as a church and where you're at as an individual and where you're at watching. If you're watching, you're on this journey with us, And there are two things that are happening simultaneously, present tense. And I was preparing, like I said, going one direction, and then the Lord began to change that. And I don't know that I will call it a warning, but maybe you could call it a warning if you wanted to, I guess, and it wouldn't be out of context. But the Lord began to change things, and the Lord began to say to me, there are two things that are happening right now in the spirit. And when I say spiritual climate, what I'm talking about is spiritual atmosphere, a climate. We speak about a climate. We're talking about atmospheric conditions. And so the Lord began to say there's two things that are happening right now. And I'm not talking about two things that are happening at large in the body of Christ. It is specifically that he's talking about two things that are happening for those that are going in, and those that are part of this ministry, and those that are walking very close to this ministry, or a ministry that is going in this same direction. So the Lord said that there is an incredible move in the earth right now, and we showed you some clips of that last week. In fact, we're going to show you one right now, and it's just a 4-minute long. Jim sent it to me this afternoon, and it's just real simple. You know, there's no preaching. But just to let you know, I want you to kind of get the flavor, the continual in the know of what's going on out there, and what's going on as far as the climate change, or the climate as far as revival that is taking place. This takes place last Thursday, a week from tomorrow, at the Capitol building rotunda. And it was a gathering of GOP leaders. And there's a worship team there that they've invited, and Harry will adjust it. You'll have to turn it up. You'll hear some of the familiar songs. But this is going on. This was going on last week in our Capitol building. And so I thought it was really, really wonderful. And I want you to see it. I just want you to continue to catch the atmosphere of what's beginning to take place in our nation. Amen. So I will turn these off. Harry's got this already ready. Amen. Give it a watch.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Well, I know that you can feel the presence of the Lord in that. And we're watching all these, some of these GOP leaders. I didn't recognize any faces, but politicians and people in the Capitol Rotunda worshiping and singing about the blood of Jesus. I don't even know how those guys got in there. God did. But there's so many things that are taking place right now, and it is apparent that revival has started and will continue to escalate. Now, for it to come to the place where what we're believing for, it is going to continue to, as I use the word escalate, it will continue to gradually build and build. Maybe not all places will have the workings of miracles like we have, but any place that's claiming it and it will accept it will. But let me not digress. The prophetic that I was hearing and seeing today was that there is simultaneously against those that are moving in, there is present tense, and maybe for some of you, coming onslaughts, in which the word of the Lord said to me, walk soberly. I'll just tell you that. And 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, maybe you want to turn there so you can see it in your Bible. But it's, I could just read that to you. But I'm just telling you what I heard. And it's not for fear, it's for sobriety. It's for preparation. Because at one, as the Lord is doing something and as the Lord is preparing a great house for wonderful things to take place, many of you are already experiencing, even in the last week or the last 10 days, some things that, let me say it like this, there's always a war, and there always will be a war. But wars are made up of battles, and battles are meant to shorten the war for whatever side you're on. And they can be, that's when the war's ramped up. That's when the enemy comes in to try to stop something, or you begin to go forward and the enemy will begin to turn up the heat. He'll turn up. He'll begin to escalate. He'll begin to move in and move forward. So I noted a number of things around me in people's lives that have been starting to come under attack. But I knew from the Lord it was far more reaching than that as we are coming into this great season that we call the beginning of miracles and revival, that the Lord also wants us to understand that He wants us to walk. This is a time to walk very, this is one of those parentheses. This is one of those asterisks. This is one of those times if you find yourself, and this is why I know that what Candy asked, could she read? I said, absolutely. And she didn't even know, but it goes so much with what the Lord said to me today, because this is just one of the many things that the enemy could try to reappear once again on your spiritual doorstep with, these kinds of tactics. Don't think if you've been around very long and you're very mature, if you've ever come to any level of maturity, you'll know it's never a one and done. It's always win and stay in dominion, because the enemy will circumvent and come back again in due season. He left Jesus for a season, and then when he sought a more opportune time. So I may be getting a little ahead of my notes here, but that doesn't matter. I'm just following Christ. But just in regards to what Candy just said, forgiveness, walking in forgiveness, and those kinds of things are absolutely paramount that for us, for revivalists. We don't sue people. We don't hold grudges. We don't, because the one that we owed an immeasurable debt to has forgiven us. Therefore, we take and turn that same love. I can't raise the dead, heal the sick while I'm suing someone over here. There's no justification in it. Well, what about justification? He'll make it up to you. He'll make it up to you. But here's the deal. Just because you forgave 10 years ago, the flesh is still the flesh. It may have been put under subjection, but demons will circumvent again. They can come back on anything. They can come back on lust. They can come back on envy. They can come back on porno. They can come back on hard feelings. That doesn't mean that those things are still there. But just because you knocked him down, kicked him out, and you're living in dominion, doesn't mean, when Jesus said, when an evil spirit is cast out of a man, that he'll go and find seven more wicked than himself, come back and then inhabit that man once again. And the last state is worse than the first. And in context, he was talking about Israel, and he was talking about his visitation, and that his visitation had brought great truth, and their rejection of that truth would give them a place. It would give a place by which Satan would come and destroy them. He would have the legal vehemence of the right to come back and destroy. But nevertheless, the same is true to the individual. Now, when he said that they would go and find seven more wicked and come, and when he said when a devil is cast out, we really take that usually to mean, and the bottom line would be like demonic possession, and somebody's very oppressed and you cast a devil out. But Jesus wasn't saying they have the legal right to go through that whole format and do that. They can't do that. Once the house is swept and clean and filled, then that person is to live the rest of their life according to freedom and life. What he's saying, if it happens that they become back under bondage, it's a result that the devil went and found cohorts to come back and put even more pressure on that person to the point that they caved in. Well, let me take that, because I didn't even have that, and I'm just speaking out of my heart now, but that's relative terms, not just to like real hardcore oppression or possession, but the relevance of that is this: is when the devil is cast out of your life, Anytime you forgive, or anytime you get past something, or anytime you get past a fault in your own life as you're growing up in Christ, you made some decisions in your spirit, and then you brought forth domination through the new man. But if you don't think that, if you just think it's a new man dominating battle only, if you're one dimensional, if you just see one side of the coin, you need to grow a little bit. You need more instruction. Because the application to the enemy's ability to begin to maneuver things is to work on weaknesses. And sometimes he'll come back to see if there's any possibility after 5 years, after 10 years. For those that are grown up in Christ, it's like water off a duck's back. He doesn't have any entrance in. But if he comes with more than himself, if he comes with an arsenal, it'll feel like the old times warmed up 10 times over. It'll feel nuclear. It'll feel like, well, I cast that out. I mean, I hadn't had that thought in 5 years. Yeah, but when it comes back nuclear, there's something behind it. I'll just read this. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So he said, be sober. That's the thing that I wanted to read in verse 8. Be sober. In other words, put on your sober mind. Be light, be happy, be joyful. But when it comes to knowing this, you and I are... Do you know what we're asking for? Do you know what you're associated with? And I'm not talking about that I'm anything, but we're asking for the blind to see and the lame to walk. For us to think we're going to get some kind of pass. Now, what I've observed and what I've heard, and this is what I've observed, and this is what I've... You can get people born again, and he don't like that at all. He don't like that at all. That you get start putting the power with that and start casting out devils and really having really notable miracles, you got to be stopped. In other words, on his part, you're not going to be stopped, but you won't get a pass. So when ugly things are maybe happening to some of y'all, put two and two together. We say, well, I'm not the greatest prayer warrior in the world, Pastor. I know, but you go to this church. Well, I'll just stop. Well, then he might kill you or somebody you love. And I don't want to put you in fear. I'm just telling you, I heard, be sober. And sometimes that I don't have that, and I'll go for months without that, but he came and said, tell them to be sober. And even things that you think is already complete, be sober. Hallelujah. The old things, the enemy may want to try to revisit old things. Old guests show up. Honey, the Millers are at the door. Don't let them in. The Miller devils are at the door. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. And don't accept the thing that, like, you never settled that. Pastor, I don't think I ever settled this. Well, you did, you silly outfit. You've been fine. They're just wanting to come back. Emotions. Little baby in here, but she wouldn't know. Sexual things that might try to come, purity, sicknesses, old things. I've been healed from that for 10 years, and now it's starting to ache again. Put two and two together. The puzzle is not hard to put together. There's a war because revival is starting, and he wants to punch again. I got to give this to him. He's a great counterpuncher. We're making some strides offensively, and things are happening. But if you're all in with the go, point seven Sunday was revival never replaces spiritual warfare. Now he wants us to be extremely at extreme peace, but this right here will put you in an advantage, because if you don't realize that it's an hour to be sober, Satan, we said Sunday, Satan does not go away in revival. Know your enemy. I love that example of George Patton. The reason why he was such a, General George S. Patton, the reason why he was such an incredible nemesis to the Germans, they hated him so bad, but they respected him, is because he studied them. Now, don't go get a satanic Bible and start reading it. Read the Word. Read the Word. Understand your enemy. Yes, you have the flesh to contend with, but if you don't understand that the enemy will come even after things have been dead and then start accusing you and then try to get an entrance in. Listen, the Lord said this. He said, don't get angry. Don't get angry with God, because you moved in with God and Satan moved in on you. Can I read that again? Don't get angry with God because you moved in with God and then Satan moved in on you. If there's anything that'll begin to give people offenses against, have you ever been upset with the Lord? Well, I have. And I think anybody honest will say, no, I, oh, come on. Get off your religious high hat. Upset. What kind of upset? Well, Lord, I moved in. I've been pushing in. I've been coming to church more, or I've been seeking you more. And this has come at me. Weird stuff will start happening sometimes in times like this. Families get all kinds of, you know, the enemy tries to move on the kids with sickness, accident, all kinds of stuff starts breaking down. That's where the Jesus said that was one of the things when Satan comes with persecution and cares of this world. Well, that just beats all I've ever seen. What? I love him. I just love him to pieces. He's my Lord. I just love him to pieces. I don't understand, Pastor. Well, let me help you. What is it? I have been really trying lately. I have been pushing in, worshiping, and it just, man, and then all this stuff has come. All this stuff has come. It just seemed like the more I move in, the more the worse it gets. And you know what that's called? That's called pouting on God. It's like getting offended on God, against God. And it's easy to do. The reason why is, Satan's MO is to challenge all the ground that you gain. Whatever ground that you begin to try to gain, his MO The offense, here's why the offense comes at the Lord. Do you think the Lord throws you out when you have all those feelings? Absolutely not. The offense comes because you have a wrong mindset of God. You think he could have stopped Satan, and he didn't. Well, somebody said, I know, I've never really thought that. No, it might not have been in that verbatim arrangement of words. But if you've ever got a little miffed at God, like it got a little attitude, like, I love you, but I'm a little bit offended at you because you could have stopped that, and you didn't. I was moving in, and he moved in on me, and you didn't do anything about it. Wrecked my truck, or broke my foot, or they told me to get out of the house, or they raised my rent $500, and then it comes like bananas, like six or eight things at once. Connect the dots. Connect the dots. And don't get, see, when we think God could have stopped it, that's Satan's ploy. Because God doesn't stop it because he expects you to stop it. You're the one in authority. He can't stop it. You're his agent on earth. You're supposed to square your shoulders back and say, yeah, I'm walking in. And yeah, it doesn't seem like Satan's telling me that this is God's reward, all this junk that's coming at me. You're a liar, Satan. And God's not going to come and sovereignly fix all this. He wants me through his authority to fix all this. You're not going to steal from me over here this money. Now you can just get a big old fat. I don't know how y'all was raised. Y'all meaning Southerners. Maybe you're not from the South. But I used to get chastised. I'll say it in a real nice way. I got chastised more over just pouting than sometimes doing something. And mamas and daddies can tell. Everybody else in the room would think you're just a... But my mom or daddy could look and they'd say, son, if you don't suck it up, if you don't fix that face, pull that bottom... If you don't fix that bottom lip, I'm going to give you something to really be concerned about. I'm going to give you something. I'm going to give you something to cry about. And, God's good. Hallelujah, God's good. And you're carrying this little thing on the inside of you. He could have stopped it. He didn't. He could have stopped it. I don't know why this stuff's coming back on me. Everything in the family was going so smooth, and all of a sudden, all hell. And we've been reading our Bible. Now we don't have work, we don't have money, we don't have... Why? Well, Jesus said in Mark 4, he will come. He told us wherever he went. Yeah, Linus, we can feel you got something emanating from you. Why don't you just speak to that thing? Come on now. I'm preaching, I guess, now. I was teaching, now I'm preaching. Pastor, what about how do I get past these things? Well, let me tell you something. And I have not arrived, my goodness, Lord Jesus. I've felt some of the turn up of the fire even recently. But let me tell you something about hunger. Hunger supersedes attacks. Hunger for more supersedes. In other words, it will swallow up with a determination that I'm going to weather this thing however long it takes. I am going. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side, and he's in my boat, or I'm in his boat, and we're going to the other side. So you can bark and yell and scream and kick and fuss and fight and come back and tell me I'm not free and we're not going to have revival and my home's a mess or this and that and the other. But devil, we're going to the other side. Hunger for more and to see this thing take place and to see God in your life will supersede all attacks. It'll get you past all attacks. How do you see... How do you create hunger? Well, you create hunger by seeing his worth. In other words, if you ever sit in his presence long enough, or ever there's something created inside of you that sees the worth, how worthy. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be squalling for a little bit until he wipes all the tears from our eyes, because we're going to see when the cloud is completely gone and everything's off our eyes and all the dust settles and we see his worth, we're going to think, my God, I let pettiness, Jesus, the things I got upset about, the things that bothered me, my God, the things that caused me to stumble at times and get upset and get offended or get or lose sleep over or this and that. Oh, God, when we see his worth, and if we ever do see his worth in this life, it's done. You'll weather anything. You'll weather anything. You could tell the same story. I've got a story, but I've got the mic, but you could tell the same story. In the last 25 years, there's been a many a nights. There's been a many a days where I've made the decision, nope, no way, won't quit, shut up, stupid, not caving in, not giving in, not resigning, he's tried to starve us out, he's tried to, I've had two or three betrayals, but that's, I'm not, you could give all the same stories. You know, things that come against your body, things that come against your mind, things that come against your family, things that come, and you just make a thousand decisions. Well, there might be a whole, but we're in a season right now. There's an asterisk, you know, one of them starry things that's saying, look, don't lose any sleep, but just be sober right now. Because he likes to come to steal, kill, and destroy. You'll weather the storm. Hallelujah. Got a few more minutes. I think what created hunger in me, I was hungry to start with. And, you know, I've told the story about Barbara taking us to Tulsa. And I already had a hunger. I already had a hunger before I ever met Pastor Dave. But when I met Pastor Dave, because I asked the Lord, I said, show me you're doing something in the earth. My God, please. I said it in private, went into my prayer closet and show me a man that'll show me how to get to where you want us to be, what you want me to be. I know, God, I'm hungry. Please. And then those things that happened that I've testified about, that's going to Tulsa. But I saw Jesus in a man's eyes one time, and it changed my life. I was a couple years into this walk, and Tim Stemple, he called here, and a man that was working for me, he was going to do the government part, and Tim, precious man of the faith, said, we're going to be in Orlando. I didn't know Tim or Dave or anybody, really. We're going to be in Orlando doing a television show for someone. Would you like to come up and bring your pastor and talk with Pastor Dave? And boy, it was like, oh, my God, really. And so we went, and it's, you know, 4 hours or whatever. We got up in there, and they were at a condo, and they were doing a television show in the evenings, I guess. And I'll never forget, we knocked on the door and they invited us in, and Tim was in the kitchen. Never forget, there was a condo, there was the kitchen off to my right, and he was cooking breakfast. By the way, if you've never had one of Tim Stemple's omelets, you've missed half your life. The Marriage Supper of the Lamb is going to have one of his... For those who want breakfast during the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, he'll be fixing omelets. Hallelujah. But Dave, he was in the kitchen. Dave come out, and there was a couple more guys there, one of Dave's sons and a worship leader from their church. And Dave come out. I didn't know him. He had a raw turnip in his hand, and he was eating this raw turnip. I guess it's just come off a fast or something, and he's still eating very healthy. And so he sits down in front of us, and I don't even know. I can't remember the conversation. All I know is until this day, to this date and time, this isn't to patronize someone beyond their rightful place. But to this day and time, I have yet to meet a man that walked when Dave was Dave and at the height of his prayer and the height. I've not known a man yet that had more presence that was on him and surrounded him. And I don't know what we talked about. I just remember as he was talking, and he was talking about going in, and Dave would go into the Spirit, and he wouldn't announce, "I'm going to the Spirit." He would just, if you were there, you got caught up in listening. His eyes would glaze over, and he would go someplace, and what he was saying would make sense, but you were more captivated by the presence than even hardly the words. And I listened, and I looked into those eyes, and I felt the presence of God, and I said, "I got to have this. This is it. This is the hunger. This is the place." See, the world and the church is coming for hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Dave Robersons, male or female. They have to come and look into our eyes and sit in our presence and feel something that's beyond where they have been. The church and the world they're done with a powerless gospel. They're done with a powerless gospel. If we can't present the power, we have no gospel. I'll just say it. Now I'll just read this, and then I got to share a confession. This is my confession. This is what I'm starting to confess over my life. I hope it becomes your confession as well. I can write it up, and it's not that big of confession, but Paul said what I just said about the gospel. He said to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Now that's the gospel. That is the gospel. And so I find myself saying, "Father, I say that my speech and my preaching is not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it is in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Father, I will not teach or demonstrate a powerless gospel, so that the faith of those that I teach will not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Hallelujah. We're really at a moment of put up or shut up. That's about where we're at. That's just about, I mean, if you just want to say it, we're just about put up or shut up. Don't just tell me, show me. It's in the spiritual exchange. And I'll say this, folks, and I'll just close with this, that please don't stop praying the mysteries. The foundation that we've been given concerning praying the mysteries, there's not just the mystery of revelation in there. There's the mystery of mortification and the endowment of power that's going to cause us to be people that when the church looks at us, they look into eyes that have the presence of God because we've spent time in the gospel, in the presence of the Lord. And what we say to them, our speech, this is what Paul said, that my speech, that covers everything. That covers sit-downs over coffee. That's casual times. That's fun times. That my speech and that my teaching, that my preaching is in the demonstration of the power of the Spirit and the power that is of the Holy Ghost to demonstrate. And we know what that interprets out to. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. If you have an offering tonight when you're leaving there, Renee, you'll put something at the back door. And we appreciate your giving. Those that are watching online, thank you so much for giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Were you edified? Yes. I hope so. I know that I felt the edification and delivery. So, Father, right now, your grace, Lord, just help us to understand this is a prophetic time. We are entering into the most wonderful days that we've ever seen. But we also know that you come as a loving Father and say, watch out. You've got an adversary. And if you're sober, he can't trip you up. He can't offend you. But Lord, all of these things that would come at us in these days, sickness, problems with cars, problems inside the family, multiple things, a list that could be a mile long, they're all for a purpose, and that is to stop and impede us going forward. But Lord, we will not quit. And we commit ourselves to you. We love you, Father. We love them, our family. Blessings now in Jesus' name. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday. You're so wonderful. Amen.